I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you unto his grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading and the hearers of his word.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone here, and again, I am thankful to the elders here for allowing me to fill in for Greg once more. I count it as an honor and a privilege to be able to stand before you and to just deliver a message from the Word of God. So I hope the things that are said this morning will be encouraging to you, something that you can use in your daily walk with Christ. Just as an intro, in the world where in a world where religion has to compete with whatever is the latest trend, whatever appeals to people's carnal senses, it's no surprise that many today do not want to hear the true gospel. And that is why many religious groups resort to entertainment, to gimmicks, extravagant productions, elaborate buildings, emotional appeals, and worst of all, a false gospel plan of salvation, which really isn't worthy of being called a gospel at all. But they do these things to draw the masses and the scores of people to their assemblies. And we are warned of these things and have been given the charge to preach nothing but the word. Nothing but the word. If I can get my thing to work here, there we go. It says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. That means when they want to hear it, and when they don't want to hear it, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine means that which is wholesome. Wholesome doctrine, not poisonous. It's wholesome for the spirit. Sound doctrine. But after their own lust will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Further, whether people want to hear it or not, we have been warned by God to preach nothing but the gospel and to believe nothing but the gospel. The reading in your hearing out of Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. In other words, there's nothing but one gospel. There's only one gospel. So if anybody's presenting another gospel, it says it is not a gospel. But there will be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. So another gospel amounts to, is equal to, a perverted gospel, because there's only one. But though we are an angel from heaven, so listen to this charge, though we, he's talking about the apostles, the inspired men of God, men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, even if they preached another gospel, we are an angel. So here, a heavenly messenger, a messenger directly from heaven, preach any other gospel to you other than what we have preached to you. Let him be accursed. You know what a curse means? It comes from the Greek word anathema, which means to be accursed from God. This is serious business. People that are preaching another gospel are said to be accursed from God. But then he goes on and says, as we have said before, so say I now, if any man, so it doesn't matter if he's inspired or non-inspired. That's us today. So if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have heard, let him or receive, let him be accursed. So again, to be accursed. Thus, we are commanded to share the gospel and nothing but the pure gospel. But why? But why? So from here, we're going to take the word share, S-H-A-R-E, and develop the points of this lesson from each letter and to explain why we should dare to share the gospel. Dare to share the gospel. You know, this thing is just going to give me trouble all day long. First, it didn't want to come up at all, but we should dare to share the gospel. So S-H-A-R. So the first letter we're going to go to is the letter S. S for salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of salvation. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only means by which a soul can be saved. From the very mouth of Jesus himself came the command. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. He said, go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. He did not say, go into all the world and preach Hinduism, Buddhism, Mohammedanism, Catholicism, Mormonism, denominationalism, nor humanism, or any other ism. He said to go and preach the gospel. It is the gospel that is God's power unto salvation, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Just as Cornelius was instructed by the angel to send for the apostle Peter, he said, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved? Acts 11 and verse 14, words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. The gospel is for salvation. That's what the S is for, salvation. Just as was said to Peter as he continued to preach to those Jews on that first Pentecost after Jesus died and was raised up into heaven. Oh, when he preached that sermon, it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. The gospel is for salvation from this untoward or wicked generation. So what do we have then? What are we being saved from? What is it that the gospel is saving us from? First of all, it's sin. The gospel is saving us from sin. It is sin and only sin that separates man from his creator. Nothing else, just sin. Sin separates us from the Almighty God. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. It is sin that separates us from God. But not only are we being saved from sin, we're also being saved from Satan, who will stop at nothing, and I do mean nothing, to bring man, the crown of God's creation, down to the filthy mire of sin. That's all Satan wants to do. In 1 Peter verses 5, chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, it says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Now, as a roaring lion, when you think about a roaring lion, what's a roaring lion going after? They usually go after the weak. You ever watch those animal shows where you see how lions hunt? You know, they look for the stragglers. They look for the young, the newborn, and the weak. They're looking for you. Satan's looking for you, just like a roaring lion. And if you're not ready, he's going to devour you. But it goes on in verse 9. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So remember that. Resist steadfast in the faith. That brings us to the next point. What are we being saved from? Self. We're being saved from self. Sin is a choice. Sin is a choice. Satan has no more power over us than that which we give him or allow him to have. Now, I remember Flip Wilson. You know, he used to be in character, and he used to say, the devil made me do it. Showing my age now, right? The devil made me do it. No, the devil doesn't make you do anything. It is your choice. James chapter 1, verses 14 to 15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know, it's on us. The devil doesn't make you do anything. We decide that we want to do it. But the devil doesn't make us do anything. And so here we have, it's our own selves that we're being saved from, our own selves. So then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1, verse 14 through 15. We have the power, then, to resolve, to restrain, and then the devil will retreat. Did you know that? And turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's resolve. Resist the devil. That's restrain. Man have to restrain himself. You know, we just want to do anything we want to do, isn't it? Isn't that the problem? We want to please self. But the Bible tells us we need to restrain. Restrain. Resist the devil, and then it says he will flee from you. That's retreat. We have that power to submit ourselves, to resolve, to restrain, and then the devil will retreat. Well, what's the next thing here as we dare to share? The letter H. The letter H is heaven. The gospel of Jesus Christ is from heaven. The gospel of Jesus Christ, then, is the only message from heaven. So salvation, the only means, and it's from heaven, is the only message. And the only message directly from heaven. In fact, it is from the very mouth of God. Remember what Jesus would say in Matthew 4 and verse 4 when the devil came to tempt him? Jesus said, answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of whom? God. Matthew 4 and verse 4. So what that means is the word is high. Oh, it is high. High, it is high. Turn to Isaiah, if you will, chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. Isaiah chapter 55, it says, for my thoughts, saith the prophet who's speaking for God, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, or your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are what? Higher than the earth, so are my ways what? Higher than your words, and my thought than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, see, he's looking at something coming from high. So he's saying, my thoughts are higher than yours, my ways are higher than yours. Just look at the rain. When the rain comes down from high, and the snow from heaven, and return not thither, and watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may seed, give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Guess what he says about his word? So shall my word that goeth forth out of my what? My mouth. And it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. The word of God is high, and it's also holy. The word of God is holy. Turn to 2 Peter, if you will, chapter 1. First of all, let's go to 1 Timothy first. 2 Timothy, where Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's letting Timothy know how he came to know salvation. It says in verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the what? The holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 16 and says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You know what inspiration means there? It means God breathed. Where did we say the word come from? Where did Jesus say the word come from? The mouth of God. God breathed. And then go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. How is it inspired, Peter? Tell us more about this inspiration, Peter. Well, in verse 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. What that means, not that we all have our own interpretation of the scripture. That's not what that's talking about. That means that it didn't come from man. Man didn't think of it. Man didn't come up with it. Man didn't devise it. Well, where did it come from, Peter? Where did it come from? For the prophecy came not of old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Word of God is holy. The gospel is holy. You put all these four scriptures together, and this is what you get. You get the Holy Scriptures, that's revelation, given by the Holy Ghost, that's inspiration, to holy men for proclamation for a holy purpose, salvation. That's what you got. And that word is holy. And that word is holy, and it's not to be trifled with. But not only that, let's go to the letter A, if we will. The letter A in share. Letter A means all. All. And that means that the gospel is the only medium. the only medium by which all people are brought together as one. Only the gospel can do that. Not a musical concert or charitable events or dramatizations. God didn't choose those to bring people together. They might bring people together for an occasion and for a time, but that's not what God chose. Do you want to know what God chose? He chose preaching. He chose preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, for after that the wisdom of God by the world or by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why is he called preaching foolishness? Because you know what? We're so wise, aren't we? Man is so wise. You know, we're so wise that we think preaching is foolishness. But you know what the Bible says? He says, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. Here we are, thinking we're so wise. So God says, you know what? Then I'm going to use what you think is foolishness to bring you to me. And God chose preaching. God chose preaching. It is the gospel and only the gospel that makes us one with Christ. Galatians 3, verse 26 through 28. Let's turn there and look at that real close. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. In Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 26, it says, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So for one thing, when you believe and obey the gospel, you become children of God. That's what makes us one, people. That's what makes us one. We become children of God. And then he goes on and tells you how. How did that faith reveal itself? Through obedience. He said, for as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's obedience to the gospel. So that's how we became the children of God. But then look at verse 28, because we're talking about all. Verse 28 is going to tell us something here. First of all, the gospel is for all races. He said there is neither Jew nor Greek. The gospel is for all classes. There's neither bond nor free. The gospel is for all genders. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Salvation has come to us all. Salvation comes now through us all. You know, in the Old Testament, it was the male who received the promises, and they passed that on. Those promises that led to Christ came through the male. Not today. We all benefit of that promise now. There's no male, no female. That male had to be a Jew of the children of Israel. Not today. Hey, if you're in Christ Jesus, guess what? We're all children of Abraham now. So you don't have to be a Jew. And there's neither bond nor free. You know, the children of Israel were free. They were free. They're the ones who had those who served them that came over out of Egypt and came over from all those other countries that they conquered, those other nations, and became their servants. But no, not anymore. Guess what? We're all servants of God now. And guess what? The gospel has made us free. We're all free. And so you know what? That means there's no room for racism. There's no room for Darwinism. There's no room for humanism. And there's no room for denominationalism. Let me tell you something here about these things here. All of these things inherently are divisive. Racism divides people nationally, because you have to be of a certain blood, don't you? Darwinism divides people physically. The survival of the fittest. If you weak, I'm just going to stomp over you. Yeah. Humanism divides people morally. That's because humanism, those who subscribe to humanism, they have no moral authority. Whatever pleases me, I don't care what you feel about it. I don't care what it does to you. I don't care how it hurts you. It's whatever pleases me. That's humanism. I become my own God. Denominationalism divides people doctrinally. You know what they say, a lot of people say who are in denominations, they say, you know, we're all on the same train. We're just in different cars. Well, guess what? If we're in different cars, that means we're separated. We're divided. And who's the conductor on that train? You better think about that. Because the one who's conducting that train has got your ticket straight to hell. Jesus didn't say, upon this rock I will build my train. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And if you look in Ephesians, he said, that's the place where we're all to be one, in one body, in his church. Not some train who we don't know who's conducting, and we don't know where that train's going. And I tell you right now, that train's not going to heaven. It is not going to heaven. And we need to let our friends know. We have a lot of friends in denominations. We ourselves come out of denominations, and we were on that train. You better get off of it. You better get off now. Punch your ticket to heaven, not to hell. The next letter, R, right. The gospel of Jesus Christ is right. That means it is the only measure against which I must compare myself to be right with God. It's the only measure. The only measure. You know, when I'm measuring something, I pull out a rule, don't I? I pull out a tape measure, ruler, whatever, to get the correct measurement. I can't just come up here and guess, oh yeah, this pulpit is about 2 feet wide. And then I figure I'm going to fit this somewhere that's exactly 2 feet wide. No, I have to first check it, don't I? And see if it lines up with the measuring rod. But you know what? That's the same way the truth. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is right. It is the measure because it is the truth. John 17, verse 17. The gospel contains the truth about who we are, whose we are, and why we are here. Only the gospel can tell us that. Only God's truth. And it sets us free to go about to be the best we can be for God, our creator. As it is said in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. The truth shall make you free. Therefore, it is the rule. The gospel is the rule. God's word is the rule. That means it is the measure, the pattern, the blueprint for all mankind. You know, I work at a company that builds ships. I'm a designer. And when my design goes out to be checked by the engineers, you guess what? It had better be in accordance with the blueprint, or it will be rejected by our customer, the Navy. And you know what the blueprint is for me? It's called a diagram. It's called a diagram. But that diagram is the measure. It is the pattern. And it is the blueprint for that ship. And I tell you what, my design better be in accordance with the pattern, with the plan, with the measure, with the pattern. Oh, it will be rejected. And guess what? Your life better be in accordance with God's word, because it is the pattern. It is the measure. It is the blueprint. Philippians 3, verse 16 and 17 says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Did you know that was in the Bible? Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together with me, because Paul and the apostles were walking by that rule. So he said, be followers together with me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example or in sample. So it is the rule, but it's also the rod. It's also the rod. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and it is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It cuts like a two-edged sword. It will cut right through you. It is the rod. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached to those Jews on the day of Pentecost, and they were slapped upside the head by that rod of God, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. That prick means that they were hit upside the head like with a 2x4. Cut them to the quick. They were struck with the rod of God. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They understood that their life wasn't in accordance with the measure. They understood that the gospel was right, the gospel was the rule, and now they were smacked upside the head with that rod. Now they want to know what to do. They want to know what to do. And that leads us to our last point, the letter E. The letter E is eternal. The gospel of Jesus Christ is eternal. And so that means it's the only motivation for me to live my life in view of the eternal. You know, there's nothing else that leads us to live our life in view of eternity but the gospel. It is the everlasting gospel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by what? The word of of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is eternal. It's going to be here forever. But we're not. We're not. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But guess what? That means we're all going to die. We're all going away from here. But you know what's going to be forever? It says, but the word of God, the word of the Lord, endureth forever. And this, listen to this. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see how he connected that all together? The word of God, eternal. And guess what? It's going to judge me in the last day. That word is going to be my judge. Jesus would tell those on one occasion, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, have one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. Now some people say, okay, so only those words you read and read in the Bible are going to be my judge. No. No. You know those apostles who were inspired by the Holy Spirit? Well, if you read John 14, 15, and 16, when Jesus prepared those men for that inspiration, guess who he said that words are going to be coming from? He said the Holy Spirit is not going to be speaking of himself, but whatever I give him. That's what he's going to give you. So those words are still the words of Jesus, and guess what? That's what we have here. It's going to be our judge in the last day. And so that leads me to two things here that I need to think about. It's going to be my exonerator. It's nice if you're in court and you're exonerated. You know, you're charged with a sin, or you're charged with a crime, and the evidence exonerates you. You know what that means? It frees you from that crime. It labels you as innocent. Well, you know the word of God will do the same thing for the Christian in the day of judgment. Turn to Titus chapter 1, if you will, verses 1 through 3. Paul, a servant of God, it says in verse 1, and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Now look at this. In hope of eternal life. Brethren, if you believe the gospel and have obeyed the gospel, that's the hope that you have, eternal life. That means you will be exonerated on the day of judgment. You have eternal life. And listen to what it says to follow up, to give us that hope. You know, hope in the Bible is different from what we think hope is. You know, usually we say we hope, that means we don't know if it's going to happen. But when the Bible says hope, it means it's already there waiting for you. It says the hope of eternal life, which God, that what? Cannot lie. If God cannot lie, then guess what the next part says? Promised before the world began. That means it's there. It's waiting for me. It's waiting for you. I've been exonerated. But having due times manifested his word through what? We're back to it again. Preaching. Preaching. You better believe the preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So look, it's going to be my exonerator. Why was Paul sharing? Why was Paul S-H-A-R-E? Why did he do that with the gospel? Why did he preach the gospel? Because it is that word that will clear the child of God from the guilt of sin and the punishment of sin or for sin in the day of judgment. God promised it. God promised it. You can rest your hopes on that. God promised it. And you know, that leads me to one thing. Not only will it be my exonerator, but it also can be my executioner. And we'll leave this for our invitation. If I do not obey the gospel, it will be my executioner. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, or 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8. It says, and you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, know not God. Don't get that twisted. Know not God. Look, Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus will say, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So you're going to have people that say, Lord, Lord. But he says, they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone. He said, many were saying to me in that day, Lord, have we not what? Prophesied in thy name? That sounds religious to me. Have we not cast out demons? That sounds religious to me. And have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And he said, I will profess unto them, what? I never knew you. Don't get it twisted. If you don't obey the gospel, then God doesn't know you. You might say, Lord, Lord, but guess what God says? I don't know you. That means I never approved of you. I don't know you. In flaming vengeance, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And then it says, and obey not the gospel. You on that train? You on that train? Remember that denominational train we talked about? You on that train? He's talking about you. If you remember the Lord's church, don't worry. We're going to get to you too. Because it's coming. So here we have, there's going to be no excuse. And there's going to be no escape. First of all, let's look at the no escape. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. It says, but the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a what? Thief in the night. So the Lord ain't going to come here with a big neon sign saying, here I am. I'm coming. Tomorrow, get ready. Get prepared. Set your watches. Set your clock. Set your cell phones. I'm coming. It's not what he said he's going to do. No. He says as a thief in the night. You know, when a thief comes in the night, do you know he's coming? Why? Because he don't want you to know he's coming. You know, I left my work this Friday and I opened up my car and there was glass, kind of little pieces of glass, and I'm sitting there in the world, and I looked up and my whole windshield was just shattered. Just shattered. It was in place. Only one little teeny piece from the front end had come into the car. And what was the first thing I thought? Somebody broke into it, you know, because they didn't like come say, Mike, we can't break into your car. Just want you to know. So when you get out there, you know what to expect. No. Fortunately, no one broke into the car, just some mishap. I don't know if somebody was out there mowing the city, you know how the city comes out there and they're doing all kinds of stuff, throwing rocks all up on your car and everything. So it could have been that, but nobody took anything out of the car. But there was one time when I was in New Orleans and saw that. My car was broken into. Yeah. And nobody woke me up in the middle of the night to warn me either. To say, hey, we're coming to get your car. I just want you to know, yeah, you just got that radio? Yeah, we're going to take that. Yeah, that's ours. So, you know, no. It says he will come as a thief in the night. And look at what he says here. And when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travaileth upon a woman with child. So look, it ain't going to be no rumors of wars and all this kind of stuff going, oh, the world is so bad, Jesus must be coming. Is that what he said here? No, that was for Jerusalem. That was for the destruction of Jerusalem when you read in Matthew chapter 24. No, when the Lord comes back this time, no, people are going to be saying, hey, man, what you doing, Mom? I'm just chilling. Everything going good with you? Yeah, man, going good. Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, well, you know what's up? Christ's coming back. That's what's up. And you better be prepared because he ain't going to tell us when he's coming. He hasn't told us when he was coming, and he said there will be no sign. You keep reading in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, you'll see where he says that. There's few questions asked in that chapter, and too many people today are being taught that there are going to be signs. As soon as the war breaks out, oh, Jesus is coming. Earthquake happened, Jesus is coming. Tornado, hurricane, whatever. Jesus is coming. When has he come yet? You remember all those people just get on TV, yeah, he's coming, following comets and all kinds of stuff, and people falling right down behind him, drinking poison and doing all kinds of things. He hasn't come back yet. He said peace and safety. That means we're not going to be expecting it. That we're not going to be expecting. So there, and then he continues and says, and they shall not escape. There will be no escape, but then no excuse. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, brethren, this looks at us. Members of the Lord's church. Yeah, we say we're members of that one church, but guess what? You better be right. You better be right. For the time has come that judgment must begin at where? The house of God. The house of God. Look, are you obeying the gospel? Since you become a Christian, are you living that gospel? Are you measuring up? Remember, we talked about that. Are you measuring up to the gospel? Or are you just kind of just going along thinking you're going to get by? Don't work that way. As a Christian, there's things we must be doing. And one of the things that the Lord said is to be ye holy, for I am holy. Are you working on that? Yeah. It's going to start with us. And it's not going to be pretty. Because still, it's going to be few that find it. It's going to probably be a lot of people in the Lord's house that we're going to be looking forward to seeing in that day. And we're going to look around, and they're not going to be there. And he says, if it first began at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? Got the poor little baby crying. Poor baby. Look, you safe, baby. You know, baby, children are safe. You ain't got to worry about this. Just make sure once you become of accountable age, yeah, then you get it right. That's who I'm talking to. Those who are of accountable age. And look, he says, we need to obey the gospel. If it starts with us, then what about those who are not of the household of God? Oh, you're really in trouble. You're really in trouble because there's going to be no excuse. You're not going to be able to go to God and say, well, nobody told me. That's not going to work. You're not going to be able to go to God and say, well, God, I was ignorant. Isn't ignorance bliss? No. Ignorance is damnable. Ignorance will condemn you. You walk into a burning building and not know that building is on fire and get trapped in there, ignorance is not going to save you. You going around with a group of thugs who commit crime, guess what? Your ignorance ain't going to help you. You know what they say? You're an accessory. Isn't that what they say? You're an accessory. Oh, you didn't know the law? The ignorance of the law is no excuse also. That's what they say. Oh, I didn't know the speed limit was 60 miles an hour. You know, what? This is not the Autobahn. You know, but people think that ignorance is going to be an excuse. And look in verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? That word scarcely, you know what that means? That means there was only one way that God could save man. And that was through giving of his son. There was no other way. It was just one. There was no other plan. It was just one. That means that the way of salvation is scarce. Wasn't a multitude of plans out there to choose from. No, this is not like health insurance. We got one plan. That's it. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Look, so what we've said here, salvation is the yes, and it is the means, the only means by which we'll be saved. Heaven is the only message. All means is the only medium. The fact that it's right, the letter R, is the only measure. And the E, eternal, it is the only motivation. And what we're trying to do is get you off that train and get you into the Lord's house. If you want to obey the gospel, if you believe the gospel, hey, a lot of people believe the gospel, but they haven't obeyed it. And to obey the gospel, you must first believe, because Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. But then you must repent. Jesus also said that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Luke 13 and verse 3. And so repent means you must change your mind. Get off that train and get into the Lord's church. That's what you need to do. And then you must confess that your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And then after you've confessed, we already looked at baptism. That's how we become a child of God. That's how we become saved. As many as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You think you can be saved without putting on Christ? It don't work that way. And if you don't know, you may have been baptized, but you didn't know why you were being baptized, or you were baptized for the wrong reason, You were baptized because you said the sinner's prayer, and so now somebody told you, okay, now it's time for you to go over here and be baptized, but you're already saved. No, that's not what the gospel says. The gospel says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not he that believeth shall be saved and then baptized. That's that train. That's that train. That train that Satan's conducting. And it's out there, and there's a whole lot of people on that train. And so if you want to obey the gospel today, we have the water right here. You know what to do now. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. When you're baptized, that means, and you're baptized for the right reason, and you're raised up, guess what? Those sins are gone. You're exonerated. And now you're in the body of Christ, which is his church, not on that train. And we want you off that train. And we want you in the church. And if you want to do that, please come while we stand and sing the song. That's been selected.
There's a fountain free.